أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي. صدق الله العلي العظيم. بسادة الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Last night we looked at السلام عليك. The only thing that remained was the second personal pronoun kaf that we are using, assalamu alayka. Normally we only use this kaf when the addressee is present. When he is absent, we say assalamu alayhi or assalamu alayhim if there are many, or if there are women, assalamu alayhinna. But when you say assalamu alayka, that means that your addressee is present. From here we come to realize that the A'imma alayhim as-salam, when we address them and say assalamu alayka, then they are really present and they vision and look at us, and because of that maqam and that status, that exalted status they have, they can attend to each and every person at different times. لا يشغلهم شأن عن شأن. This is one of the sifat they have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in a limited form. لا يشغلهم شأن عن شأن. They are so powerful that, for example, while you are doing ziyarat in Karbala to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and I am doing ziyarat at the same time on my rooftop, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam can comprehend the daqa'iq and lataif of what is going in my mind and how sincere I am while I address him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow a human being so much of capacity and personality. And as I said, that the discussion on the perfect human being, Insanul Kamil, is important, because if a person understands this bahth and this discussion properly, he will come to realize what I mean when I say that the Imam can respond to each and every human being at different times, at different places, and he is aware of their thoughts as well. So the very important thing that we should know is that when we say assalamu alayka, we should know that Imam listens to us, and not only that, but responds to us with a better salam. And not only that, but as we said, that the A'imma alayhimus salam are such that you could realize that Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam said, أَدَّبَنَا Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, إِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا. So when you say assalamu alayka, don't think only the response of alayka salam would come, but there should be also a practical response. Perhaps you would see that your memory power would increase. You would see that your tawfiqat would increase. You would see so many blessings coming to you, because when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam responds to the salam, he responds to a better way than how he was given the salam. This is one point that is very important to note. Another thing is that Some of our ulama, due to great sincerity on their part, would listen to the response of the imams. And this requires a lot of tawfiq. And that is why those who aspire to go to Medina and then go for Hajj, if they really would like to benefit from Medina, then they should gain receptivity before coming to Medina. So that when they say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, the response, alayka as-salam, comes and they can appreciate the voice of Imam. This is something very, very important. And it has been witnessed by several people. I just want to mention two, three incidents for your information. And they are very interesting incidents. One is that of Allama Majlis's father. Here, in this incident, not only Allama Majlisi visions the Imam, not only does he listen to the voice of Imam, but he even visions the Imam. This is something which is rare. It so happened that Allama Majlisi's father, Allama Muhammad Taqi Majlisi, was a person of a very high caliber and of high spiritual status. Allama Majlisi mentions this in his book and says, mentions this account which is very important, that once this father of Allama Majlisi goes to the Rawda of Imam Ali alayhi salam and recites prayers and does some mujahadat. Mujahadat, we mean by mujahadat is spiritual exercises. Sometimes if you have an ustad, a teacher training you to come to the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would give you some instructions to do. He would tell you what prayers to recite. And not only that, but the a'imma alayhim salam, being our guides, have given us what kind of instructions should we follow when we go to their maqabir, when we go to their rawdat. So, Allama Majlis's father does a lot of spiritual exercises. Then he says that, I came into a state of mukashafa. The state of mukashafa is between wakefulness and sleep. And this state is the state of visioning the reality. Not that it is something like a sleep, no. Somebody really visions the reality. He said that when I did a lot of spiritual exercises there near the Rawda of Imam Ali alayhi salam, I came to a state between wakefulness and sleep, the state of mukashafa, and I saw the 12th Holy Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif facing me, and he was near Surra Marra'a, that is Samarra'a, near the tomb of Imam Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam. So he narrates and says that when I saw the 12th Imam, I was so delighted that I recited Ziyaratul Jami'ah by heart near him. And the Imam was pleased the way I was respectful to him. And I told the Imam that this ziyara is the ziyara of Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salam. And he said, yes. Then the Imam said, taqaddam, come near me. So I was afraid and I said, I'm afraid that when I come to you, I do not observe some etiquette. So the Imam says, no, don't be afraid. When the Imam tells you to come near, then you should come near. Say, taqaddam, taqaddam, come near. So he comes near the Imam. And then he sits in such a manner that he is not easy. The Imam says that, cross your legs. Don't worry. You are tired. And he says that he sat near the Imam. And then he says that there were other incidents that he doesn't narrate. He stops the qissa, the incident stops over here. But the shahid mithal, and what I wanted to explain here is that sometimes out of spiritual exercises, and that is the purity of heart that you get, you can vision the Imam and you can listen to his response and you might also have a conversation with him. This is one incident. Another incident is mentioned in this very famous book, Kimya-e-Muhibbat, which has already been translated into English, The Elixir of Love, which is the account of a mystic who was a tailor, Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat, who could listen to the response of the Imam whenever he did ziyarat. Once when he did ziyarat, he could not listen to the response of the Imam, so he was perplexed and said that, why can I not listen to the response of the Imam? And thereafter, when he thinks, he comes to realize that, of course, the Imam informs him in one way or the other that it is because you ate while you did not need to eat at that moment. Sometimes we overfill our stomach, or sometimes we don't have ishtiha of something and we still eat. He said, you ate more than enough, and that is why when you talked to us and when you did salam to us, you did not listen to our voice. Although we responded to you, but you did not listen. And thereafter, he asks forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he comes to that state whereby whenever he says, As-salamu alayka, ya Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha al-Murtada, he could listen to the response that, wa alayka as-salam. And this is very important. That means that even us, we do have that ability, because we also are human beings, to come to that station whereby when we give salam, As-salamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, he would respond to us, and we would also listen to the Imam. Look at the history, and you would find that even Allama Tabatabai's wife, who was so sincere at heart, and they would be at Karbala on the day of Ashura. One Ashura, they were in Tabriz, and she really wanted to be near the Rawda of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And by the tawfiqat and tawassul, she literally came to the Rawda from where she was. That is Tayyul Ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah's power, a person can come from one place to another. Bi-idhnillah. And this is simple, because if you go and see, not simple for us, simple in the sense that the human being does have the power to do that. It's not beyond his capacity. We find that Asaf bin Barkhiya says that before you even blink your eye, the throne of Bilqis would come near you. Bi-idhnillah. Why? Because he had Ismul A'zam, that is, he had that state of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a limited sense. So bi-idhnillah, he could bring the whole throne before you even blink your eye. And thus you can do that. You need sincerity. Another incident which is important is of Sheikh Tusi. It's narrated that Sheikh Tusi would be there in Najaf, but would not go literally to the Rawda of Imam Ali alayhi salam to do salam. And some pseudo ulama would come to tell Sheikh Tusi, Sheikh Tusi, you being Shaykh al-Ta'ifa, Shaykh of the Shias. And Shaykh Tusi was so powerful that for 1,000 years, if you look at the history of fiqh, when the alim says, in fiqh, even if you look at these books like Lum'a and other books, when the writer says, Shaykh has said it, then there is a certain veneration that Shaykh had, and therefore the silence is kept. That if Shaykh has said this, then we cannot go contrary to Shaykh just like that. Thereafter, after some years, Ibn Idris comes and challenges Shaykh, and that's how fiqh starts progressing. But then Shaykh had a very powerful voice, Shaykh al-Ta'ifa al-Tusi. So Shaykh once told this alim, okay, you think that I do not wish to visit Imam Ali alayhi salam. Come. Just near the Rawda of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, As-salamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. And from the Rawda comes the voice, Wa alayka as-salam ya Shaykh al-Tusi. So this is the ziyarah that we need. That sincerity. That when we say really As-salamu alayka, we get the response. And there are very many incidents which would take a lot of time, and we have limited time. You see, when we go to the ziyarah of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, we mention this We say, وأعلم أن رسولك وخلفاءك عليهم السلام أحياء عندك يرزقون. And I know, we address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that I know that your messenger and the successors of your messenger عليهم السلام are living near you and are receiving sustenance. يَرَوْنَ مَقَامِي. They see me where I am, where I stand, and where is my spiritual status. وَيَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامِي. And they listen to what I say. وَيَرُدُّونَ سَلَامِي. And they respond to my salam. So all these indicate that we do get a response, but we do not have that receptivity in the heart to get the response and to listen to that response. This was As-salamu alayka, that kaf, that when we say As-salamu alayka, we should feel the presence of the Imam. Ya Aba Abdullah. The reason why we use Ya, Ya is an interjection, Nida that we call in Arabic. And it is an interjection for a vocative, a munada, the one who is called. So when we say Ya, it means the person is very far that we are calling, saying, Ya Ahmad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, come. If he was near, we don't say Ya. If he was not very far, we also don't use the word Ya, we use A. And there are other letters used in the Arabic when we call somebody from near. But when we use Ya, we use Ya for a person who is physically far. Sometimes, however, we use Ya for a person who is not physically far, who is physically very near, but whose spiritual status is so high. For example, when you know that a person has come to you who is of a very exalted spiritual status, you say, Ya Ali, Ya Kareem, Ya Hassan, how are you? This is there in the Arabic, of course, we do not use it because we are not Arabs. But in the Arabic, if you look at the poetry, and you look at even the Quran, or the du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أَقْرَبُ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He is near than the jugular vein. But when we say, when we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't say Allah, we say, Ya Allah, Allahumma. Allahumma, in other words, is Ya Allah. And therefore, when we say, Ya Aba Abdullah, although he is very near to us, يَرَوْنَ مَقَامِي وَيَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامِي بَلْ وَيَعَرِفُونَ أَفْكَارِي. He knows what is going in my mind. Everything. But why do I use Ya? Because he is of a very exalted status. In fact, the vocative itself is a reason for using the interjection. The vocative that is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ya Aba Abdullah itself. The word Aba Abdullah itself proves that why we use Ya. How? Because Aba Abdullah, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, is of a very exalted status. That is why I use Ya for Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Otherwise he is very near to me. Because when a person has left this material world, the limitations of the material world come out. And therefore he is higher in status. Especially one who was pious in this world and who left this world before leaving this world. Like Imam Ali alayhi salam saying, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءِ مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. I have left this world. I have seen the hereafter. I can see barzakh. I can see beyond that. Some of the statements of Nahjul Balagha and other places, you'll find that Imam Ali alayhi salam is talking with the dead. We think that he is talking to the dead to just inform the people who are passing by. No. Not only that, he is really talking to those who are in barzakh, because he can vision them. He has torn the veils of this world and gone to the hereafter. That's why he says, مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. And when we say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, they are so high that they know what's happening in this world and beyond. Therefore they are of a very high status. And plus, they manifest the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, they are of a very exalted status, and thus, Ya is proper to be used for them. Ya Aba Abdullah. The word Aba Abdullah is worthy of contemplation. Aba Abdullah is a kunya, an agnomen. In the English we call it an agnomen. When a person, the first child a person gets, he is named with that child like when he is given the agnomen Abu Ali, Abu Kareem. If the child, the first child is Kareem, then he is known as Abu Kareem. Or if the first child is Muhammad, then he is known as Abu Muhammad. The first child of the Holy Prophet was Qasim, for he was known as Abu al-Qasim. But then if you look at the Arabic language, it's not necessary that it should be the first child only. Sometimes the second, third child also is named such and such a person, and he can be known after that. So they say that one of the reasons that the Shurrah, the commentators of Ziyarat Ashura, say that the one of the reasons behind Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, known as Abu Abdullah, was that he had a young son in Karbala known as Abdullah al-Radi', who was still breastfeeding. That's why he's known as Abdullah al-Radi'. In Ziyaratul Nahiya, we also address this young son of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, saying, As-salamu ala Abdullah bin al-Hussein at-tifl al-Radi'. Perpetual peace be unto you, Aba Abdullah, the perpetual peace be upon Abdullah, the one who was still breastfeeding. Therefore, that is why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is known as Abu Abdullah. This is one reason they give. Another reason is that sometimes the agnomen is used when you have a certain characteristic in you. For example, you have that characteristic of being very open-handed. So you are known as Abu Jawad. If you are very great in spiritual status, you are known as Abu Kareem. This is there during in the Arabic language, that sometimes you'll find Abu Jawad is the person who really is open-handed, because he has that sifat, that is why he is known as Abu Jawad. Similarly, they say that if you look at Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he was known as Abu Abdullah after his birth, not when he got his son Abdullah al-Radi', but after his birth he is known as Abu Abdullah. And this shows his utter purity as he comes out from the womb of his mother, Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. His submissiveness from the onset of coming in this world. So when we say Aba Abdullah, because the word Abdullah means the submissive servant of Allah, and because Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was really a submissive servant of Allah, that is why he was known as Abu Abdullah. And that is why we say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And this sifa, and this reason, many of the shurrah, many of the commentators of Ziyarat Ashura have specified. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Another reason why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is known as Aba Abdullah can be gotten from the word Ab itself, because it is important and imperative for us to look at the etymology of Ab itself. What is Ab? Conventionally we say that Ab is father. Sometimes Ab is also known as a grandfather, or a person who reared you and trained you. The lexicographers have defined Ab as huwa kullu man kana sababan fi ijadi shay'in aw islahihi aw dhuhurihi. everything that is a cause of the existence of another, or the reform of another thing, or the manifestation of another thing, is Ab, is the Father. And that is why Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is Abu Abdullah. He is the trainer and the reformer and the teacher of every servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? By his movement, by his powerful movement. In fact, he also trains Nabi Nuh salamullah alayhi. He also trains Nabi Adam salamullah alayhi. Each and every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trained by Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Why? Because his movement is timeless and it is a history. If you look at history, you come to realize that yes, it is timeless. Look at our riwayat. That Nabi Nuh salamullah alayhi cries for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Nabi Adam salamullah alayhi cries for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Therefore, he is not only immortal, he is timeless. Even before he was born, people cried for him. Even before he was born, people drew lessons from his movement. So his movement is of such character. So he is Abu Abdullah. He trains every human being to be a submissive servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He trained Imam Khomeini to be a submissive servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he can undertake such a powerful revolution. He trains each and every one of us at home how to be a submissive servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He trains every human being how to be a submissive servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salam also reports a very interesting tradition, which sometimes we think it is metaphoric, but it is not metaphoric. If you look at the etymology, then you come to realize that yes, this is why Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions this. He says, إِنَّمَا الْآبَاءَ ثَلَافَ. There are three kinds of father. Fathers are three. أَبٌ وَلَّدَكْ. The father that made you, gave you birth, made you be born. Abun allamak, the father that taught you. Wa abun zawwajak, and the father that gave you a wife. And this comes from that definition itself. If you look at the definition properly, you'll come to realize why this tradition has come. Recite a salawat, please. A very important point that we should realize is that when we say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, yesterday I said and I pointed out this, that the stages of salam have no end. There is a time when we say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, and this is a declarative statement. We declare to Imam Hussein alayhi salam that we are at peace with you. Now a person may say that really if you go and see myself at home, I'm very good. My manners are very good, excellent. Outside also, as far as the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, I do not sin and so on. He tries to enumerate and think about himself. He does not have any ujb. He knows that he has all these characters. And thus he thinks that when I say Assalamu alayka, I really faithfully am this, telling Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that I am in conformity with you. But he is mistaken. Because as I mentioned, that the stages of salam have no end. And if you look at the station of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, it is far beyond our comprehension. There are some riwayat that also mentioned that Imam Ali alayhi salam tells Abu Dharr, saying, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَبْلُغُونَ كُنْهَ مَا فِينَا وَلَا نِهَايَتَهُ. You will not reach the essence of where we are, nor the end of where we are. One of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam asks Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَبِي ذَرْ. Inform me of Abu Dharr. أهو أفضل أو أنتم أهل البيت؟ Is he better or you أهل البيت? Now this person was really a jahil, you know, by asking such a question that is Abu Dharr أفضل or the أهل البيت عليه السلام أفضل. فقال يا ابن سهيب كم شهور السنة؟ O Suhaib, O son of Suhaib, how many are the months of the year? قَالَ فَقُلْتُ إِثْنَا عَشَرْ شَهْرًا He said, 12 months. فَقَالَ وَكَمِ الْحُرُمْ مِنْهَا How many of these months are the months of Haram? شهر الحرام قُلْتُ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرْ Suhaib ibn Suhaib says that 4 months. قَالَ فَشَهْرُ رَمَضَان مِنْهَا Is the holy month of Ramadan among the Shahr al-Hurum, those sacred months? قَالَ فَقُلْتُ لَا يَبْنَ سُهَيْبْ says that no, Shahr al-Ramadan is not from the sacred months, the four sacred months. قَالَ فَشَهْرُ رَمَضَان أَفْضَلْ أَمْ أَشْهُرِ الْحُرُمْ Is the holy month of Ramadan more better or the 4 months of the four sacred months? فقلت بل شهر رمضان he said rather شهر رمضان is more better than the four sacred months قال كذلك نحن أهل البيت so is our case the أهل البيت لا يقاس بنا أحد no one can be compared to us and that is why see some people have this ambiguity which should be obviated and taken out that the Iranians consider Imam Khomeini as the 13th Imam I heard this from several places. But this is a wrong concept. This is something which is a stereotype that have come in some people's minds. It's not that way. No one can be compared with any of the imams. You can't even a person who has a very high mystical status. You can't say that he is like the imam. No. لا يقاس بنا أحد لا تبلغونا كُنْهَ مَا فِينَا وَلَا نِهَايَتَهُ Yes, you can compare Imam Khomeini with Allama Tabatabai and the other great ulama. But when you come to compare the Aimma alayhimu salam, you can't say Imam Khomeini, that Imam Ali alayhi salam is better than Imam Khomeini. You can't even say that. Because here you are comparing. You can say that Imam Ali alayhi salam is better, أَفْضَلُ Aimma from the other Aimma alayhimu salam. And therefore, when we say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, it is a declarative statement, but still we should have this in our mind, that still we have other levels of salam to go. So we should try to perfect ourselves more and more as we go through this journey of salam. Before we end this session, inshaAllah, one of the brothers had requested that why not give the fada'il and the merits of this ziyarah as well? Because at the onset, we did not look at some of these merits. And I thought every day, I should try to pick up one merit from the riwayat and give it to you, so that you can benefit from these merits. This merit is not from a riwayah, but this is an incident narrated by one of the great ulamas, worthy of contemplation and worthy of consideration. You must have seen this book. It has been translated into Persian also. It's known as Al-Muraqibat. In Al-Muraqibat, Ayatollah Malik Tabrizi mentions a very beautiful incident. He says that he mentions this incident from a very authentic chain of narrators and says that once a person who would take unnecessary tax from other people in Najaf, in Karbala. He would take unnecessary tax from people. He happened to die. And a friend of his sees him in the dream after some time. After a very long span of time, he sees him. And he sees him, he's very happy. So he asks him that you are a sinful person, you are a sinful man in this world. And what is this that I see you in? you are in Jannah and you're very happy. What happened? So he narrates and says that, yes, when I went to the grave, I was heavily punished. Until a certain lady was buried where my grave was. Because the first night that she was buried, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam visited that grave 3 times. And when he visited the 3rd time, the malaika said, irfa'u an hadhihi al-qubur al-azab. Take away the azab from these qubur, these graves that are nearby this lady. And I was from among that. So this man wakes up and sees whether these people really exist. So he comes to realize that yes, this woman who died has a husband who still exists. So he goes to the husband and asks the husband that, your wife, what did your wife do for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? He said that nothing much. She was every day reciting Ziyarat Ashura. This was her habit. That every day that she would recite Ziyarat Ashura. Otherwise she didn't do anything special. So you can find that if a person really has iradat and sincerity towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam and pleads from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Ya Aba Abdullah, you know my state, you know my limitations, I love you from the depths of my heart, and I'm reciting this ziyarat for your love, for the sake of uniting with you, Ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Sin always ties me, but then I would like to be out of this entanglement. And if Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks at this sincerity, you would find that slowly and gradually, while you are in this world, you would get the tawfiqat to remove those impurities in your heart and come to a level whereby when you go to the grave, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam would also visit you the way he visited that lady 3 times. One of the people, one of our friends, was saying that there was a lady whose grave got spoilt after about 200 years. And her body, her coffin was still new. And not only new, but perfume, the scent of perfume came out from that coffin. Why all this? This is because of the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. The true love. And inshallah, when we come to the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we'll come to the reality of the love. It's not that evanescent state of heart that a person experiences. No, it's a kind of unity that you experience with Imam. That is the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Inshallah, we'll come to that. Recite a salawat, please. والحمد لله رب العالمين